Vasudevaya, Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam, Chapter 9, Second Canto, Answers by Citing the Lord's Version. This may be the most important chapter in the Bhagavatam because it has the Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam in it. What's the meaning of this? Answer by Citing the Lord's Version. It's answers because the last chapter is all questions. Questions by King Pariksit. So Śrīla Gosvāmī is going to answer these questions by quoting Lord Krishna, that how Krishna answered the questions for Lord Brahmā. That's the idea of the title, answer by citing the Lord's version. So text number one, Lord named Śrī Śuka Uvāca. Śrī Śukadeva Gosvāmī said, Ātmā, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, energy, literally, without, Rajan, O King, Parasya, of the pure soul, Anubhava Atmanaha, of the purely conscious, Na, never, Patita, it can so happen, Artha, meaning, Sambandha, relation with the material body, Swapna, dream, drishtu, of the seer, over, like, Anjasa, completely. Śrī-śukovāca, Ātmanāyam-vipo-rājan, Parasyanyo-bhavātmanaya, Nagate tarta sambandha Swapna drashtu vivanjasa Kushuko vacha Atma nayan vite rajan Parasyanyo bhavatmana Yavate tata sambandha Swapna drashtu rivanjasa Kishuko vacha Atma nayan vite rajan Parasyanyo bhavatmanaya Yavate-tata-sambandha Swapna-drashtu-rivanjasa
Śrī-śukavācā
Śrī-śukavācā
Ātmamāyam-rute-rājam
Ātmamāyam-rute-rājam
Nagate-tata-sambandha
Swapna-drashtu-rivanjasa
Translation, Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, unless one is influenced by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no meaning to the relationship of the pure soul and pure consciousness with the material body. That relationship is just like a dreamer's seeing his own body working. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Maharaj Pariksit's question as to how a living entity began his material life, although he is apart from the material body and mind, is perfectly answered. The spirit soul is distinct from the material conception of his life, but he is absorbed in such a material conception because of being influenced by the external energy of the world called Atmanaya. This has already been explained in the first canto in connection with Vyasadeva's realization of the Supreme Lord and his external energy. The external energy is controlled by the Lord, and the living entities are controlled by the external energy, by the will of the Lord. Therefore, although the living entity is purely conscious in his pure state, he is subordinate to the will of the Lord when being influenced by the external energy of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 15.15, also the same thing is confirmed. The Lord is present within the heart of every living entity, and all the living entity's consciousness and forgetfulness are influenced by the world. Now the next question automatically made will be, why the Lord influences the living entity to such consciousness and forgetfulness? The answer is that the Lord clearly wishes that every living entity be in his pure consciousness as part and parcel of the Lord, and thus be engaged in the loving service of the Lord as he is constitutionally made. But because the living entity is partially independent also, he may not be willing to serve the Lord, but may try to become as independent as the Lord is. All the non-devotee living entities are desirous of becoming equally as powerful as the Lord, although they are not fit to become so. The living entities are illusioned by the will of the Lord because they wanted to become like him. Like a person who thinks of becoming a king without possessing the necessary qualification, when the living entity desires to become the Lord himself, he is put in the condition of dreaming that he is a king. Therefore, the first sinful will of the living entity is to become the Lord, and the consequent will of the Lord is that the living entity forget his factual life and thus dream of the land of Utopia, where he will become one like the Lord. The child cries to have a moon from the mother, and the mother gave the child a mirror to satisfy the crying and disturbing child with the reflection of the moon. Similarly, the crying child of the Lord is given over to the reflection, the material world, to lord it over as calming, and to give this up in frustration, become one with the Lord. Both these stages are dreaming illusions only. There is no necessity of tracing out the history of when the living entity desired this. But the fact is that as soon as he desired it, he was put under the control of Atmanaya by the direction of the Lord. Therefore, the living entity in his material condition is dreaming falsely that this is mine and this is I. The dream is that the conditioned soul thinks of his material body as I, and falsely thinks that he is the Lord, and that everything in connection with that material body is mine. Thus only in dreaming does the misconception of I and mine persist life after life. This continues life after life. As long as the living entity is not purely conscious of his identity as the subordinate part and parcel of the world. In his pure consciousness, however, there is no such misconceived dream. And in that pure conscious state, the living entity does not forget that he is never the world, but that he is eternally the servitor of the Lord in transcendental love. The previous chapter, as I mentioned, was questions by Maharaj Pariksit. Or as Srila Prabhupada says, this is the answer to his first question. This is his first question was, text number 7. O learned Brahmana, the transcendental spirit soul is different from the material body. Does he acquire the body accidentally or by some cause? Will you kindly explain this, for it is known to you? This is actually a very deep question. It's covered quite extensively by Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī, who is Paramatma Sundarbha. Paramatma Sundarbha has two major divisions. The first section is about the jīva. It covers the three things. Paramatma, the jīva, and māyā are covered quite extensively in the Paramatma Sundarbha. So the essence of this question is actually a very deep philosophical one, because the idea is, I don't know how clear it comes out in this question or it's stated here, but in other places it's described in more detail. The basic idea is the jiva is constitutionally conscious of who he is. That's who he is. You know, understanding something, especially in the Vedic perspective, the way things are looked at, you look at two different kinds of characteristics. You look at the thing itself, what really makes it what it is, and then you look at the tushka. So the marginal characteristics. Just like we, all of us, you know, might say we have our basic identity as human beings. We know, you know, this is this person, this is that person, and I know that person because I see that person. And I identify that person with a certain name. So you can say that's the main characteristic of that person. But then that person does so many other things, and of course has inner thoughts and other characteristics that change over time. They're not the essence of who you are, as we're talking about the body at this point, your identity as a certain person. So you have your main characteristic of who you are, and then you have adjuncts, things that are added on in your life. So the idea is that who we really are, you can't change that. Just like you have the word dharma, we understand what the word dharma is in the sense of the intrinsic quality of thing, what makes it what it is. So what makes the jiva what it is? The jiva is consciousness. And conscious, Prabhupada states it that way. So it can't lose that. So the question is, it seems like he's lost that. The jiva has lost that. How is it possible? It's actually impossible. Therefore it's said that Krishna can do the impossible. This Jiva Goswami states this in his Sundarbhas. He makes this point often. But of course we have the word achintya shakti. But sometimes we think, well, achintya means I just can't figure it out. But achintya also means transrational. And we might say, well, it's not logical. It doesn't make any sense. How can it be like that? So this is actually what the question is. How can it be that the jiva forgets who he is? That's what he is. His consciousness of himself is his main characteristic. So this is what's being discussed here, actually, the answer to his question. So the way that Sukadeva Goswami answers it here, I read the translation again. Unless one is influenced by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no meaning to the relationship of the pure soul and pure consciousness with the material body. That relationship is just like a dreamer's seeing his own body working. So Prabhupada has talked about this identification with the body, I am man, especially later in the purport today. So here, what does Śrīla Goswāmī say? Basically, he's saying the only way that this can happen is because of Krishna's energy. Krishna's energy is making it happen. That's the simple answer to the riddle. And Prabhupada, he says, well, actually, this has already been mentioned, how the jiva has nothing to do with this body. This is another whole aspect of this. That actually, the jiva is, it's thinking that it has some connection with the body, but it doesn't actually. It's just like a dream. Just like in a dream body, we really think something is happening. Prabhupada would give examples of, you know, you're just lying in bed, but you may be so afraid, or something happens in the dream, and you wake up and startled you so much, and you're so much identified with that body in the dream, that you're actually yourself, you might say, in quotes, is just lying in bed there. So it's not real, it's just dreaming. So the same thing with everything that's, our suffering is also like a dream. We don't really have any connection to this body. We don't really have any connection with the mind. Krishna is just messing with our minds, you could say. He's making us think that we are who we are. It's actually possible, because the jiva, as I said, the jiva can't forget who he is. That's his nature. But Krishna can do it. So Prabhupada, first he referred in the purport here, he says, so this has already been explained in the first canto in connection with Vyasa's realization of the Supreme Lord and his external energy. Now this is of course a very important part, but this is at the beginning of the seventh chapter of the first canto. What are we leading up to the first six chapters of the first canto? We hear about Narada and Vyasa, their meeting, and Vyasa's determination that Narada's going to talk about Krishna specifically. Then the story begins, the seventh chapter, we hear about the, it begins with, of course, Ashwatthama and the Brahmastra and that whole scene. That's really where Krishna's Leela begins in the Bhagavatam, is in that seventh chapter, the first canto. But before that, because Vyasadeva has just met with Narada Muni, and Narada Muni has, in essence, told him, you need to get into samadhi. Because what I'm asking you to do, you need to really understand and present Krishna, Krishna Tattva. You need to present Krishna Tattva, Krishna Leela and Krishna Tattva. And in order to really understand Krishna Tattva, you need to really get absorbed here. You need to really concentrate. You need to concentrate, yes. You need to hear your rhymes. So what does Vyasadeva do? Of course, he goes to the bank of the Ganges and he meditates. And he has this realization, what is the verse? Bhakti yoga manasi samyak pranite malay apasya purusham purnam nam chatar pashyam. So what does he see in his meditation? He sees the living entity, he sees Krishna, and he sees Krishna, the jiva, and he sees Maya. Maya is standing off stage. She's not, but the idea is that she doesn't have a direct connection with him. She's behind Krishna, not intimately related with him. So then the next verse, which seems what Prabhupada is referring to here, Yaya samahita jiva atmanam trigunatmakam parupaya manute nartam tatkritam chadi padyate. So there it says, and the living entity, although he actually has no relationship with Maya, thinks that he does. So that's what Prabhupada is saying here. So this point has already been made in the first canto. Sutta Goswami is the narrator at this point. So he's already made this point by referring to Vyasadeva's realization. Now Jiva Goswami, when he begins in the Tattva Sandarbha, the first part of Tattva Sandarbha, he's establishing the pramana. He's the sandarbha of tattva. Tattva means the truth. So how am I going to explain the truth? I'm not going to speculate. I'm going to rely on the Bhagavatam, essentially is what he said. So how does he begin What is the first thing he quotes? He quotes, Vedanti Tattva Vidas Tattva Nyas Gyan Vidvayam Vrameti Paramapruti Bhagavan Ki Shabdita. This is really the thread that runs through the whole Tattva Sambhava, this verse. That the absolute truth is non-dual consciousness, and it has three aspects, or three ways of seeing it. It's actually all Krishna, but Krishna's seen in different ways. Just like you can see a person's face, or you can see a person's back, you may be able to recognize the person, oh, that's so-and-so. You know, sometimes I just see somebody at the corner of my eye, and I realize, oh, that's so-and-so, because everybody has a certain gait, right? Actually, the gopis, when they were remembering Krishna, and Krishna was walking with Vasudevas, one of the things they remembered was his gait, how he walked. Of course, everything about Krishna is so charming, and so everything about him. So that's one thing. Oh, just the way he walks drives me mad. So, I lost my train of thought here. What was the last thing I think? Everybody else for that too, huh? Oh, it's all about Vedanta Tattva. Yes, so everything is Krishna, I was going to call it, yes. It's all Krishna. Brahman is also Krishna, Paramatma is also Krishna, and Bhagavan, of course, is Krishna sharing his full form. So this is how Jiva Goswami begins. And of course, the second Sambhava is Bhagavat Sambhava, which means about Bhagavan, and the third one is Paramatma Sambhava. So, that's how Sutta Goswami, or Ajita Goswami, to explain Tattva, the truth, he quotes this Vedanti Tattva. And then, he refers to this scene of Vyasadeva. Because Vyasadeva is getting direct perception of what it was presented in this Vedanti Tattva Vedasa verse. He's seen it within his heart. His full maturity, we say. We can just imagine Vyasadeva how mature he already is. So in his full maturity, when he's presenting the Bhagavatam, so he's seen this within his heart. And then, of course, the Bhagavatam unfolds the main topics up until the 10th canto, and then the 10th canto focuses on the ashraya, the refuge or the shelter of all these other main topics. This is how the Bhagavatam, this point is very important. How Krishna, well, another thing that Jiva Goswami does when he explains about the position of the jiva in the Paramatma Sambhava, he also talks about, well, he's quoting the third canto, especially because a similar question comes up there. Vidura is asking the Achura. And when he's explaining the jiva, he also explains how Bhagavan, of course, is transcendental. And in fact, actually it's interesting, the Bhagavad Prabhupada says that the external energy is controlled by the world and the living entities are controlled by the external energy. This is also something that comes up. But how is God connected with this material world? Let me see if I can, let's see. Actually, I've written down some of these questions. In the third canto of the way it's presented, the first question that, Vidura asks Maitreya in the third canto, 7th chapter. He says, how can the Chinmatra Bhagavan be involved with the gunas? In other words, the material energy. How can Bhagavan be connected with the material energy? Because he's Chinmatra. Chin means chit. It's a chiranya. Chit also just means spirit, you can say. The chit potency of Krishna, the spiritual, in the grandest sense. So chinmatra, and matra means only. So Bhagavan is only pure consciousness. There's nothing material in him. That's, of course, brought out in so many places in the Bhagavatam. So the question is, how can he be involved with the gunas? Actually, he's not involved with the gunas. And in fact, we're not either, because we're part of him. Again, they're just dreaming that we are. In the 11th canto, 11th chapter, verse 1, Krishna, when he's teaching Uddhava, the science of the Absolute Truth, he says there that we talk about bondage and liberation, but actually this is just I forget the exact phrase he used, but he said, this is just false, this is just... With that accent, there's no such thing, basically. There's no such thing as bondage and liberation. Because the chief is never bound. He's not actually bound, he just thinks he is. So how can we talk about bondage and liberation? Well, we do it from a certain perspective. You know, we structure the material world. So to us, when we look at it, we talk about these two groups. But actually, from a higher perspective, you're not actually, you're just like a dreaming person. You're not actually suffering in a dream. You wake up, you're lying in comfortably in your bed. Don't worry about it. So Krishna is not connected with the religion and the jiva is not either. And then the context goes back to Bhagavan, as I was saying, in fact, mixes describing the jiva's transcendence and Bhagavan's transcendence. So we are, actually, let me, I brought the Bible to here to stay attentive. This is the way Lord is answering. He says, boys are enthusiastic to play with other boys. This is part of the Guru's question. He says, boys are enthusiastic to play with other boys or with various diversions because they are encouraged by desire, but there is no possibility of desire for the Lord because he is self-satisfied and detached from everything at all times. So this is a related question. Why did Krishna create this material world? Because he would have to have some desire to do, that's the idea. But why would he have desire to do, if he desired, everything that Krishna desires becomes his lila. Or at least when he enacts his desire. So why would he enact, what lila would it be to create this material world, matter? What would he have to do with matter? He's enjoying the cowboys and the gopis and spaniels and so on. They're trying to get the world of Vrindavan. So boys, ordinary boys in this world, yeah, they do things because they want to have fun with their friends or whatever. But Krishna has no desire like that. What is the word? Svata triptasya. Svata means one's own. And then triptasya means satisfaction. He's satisfied within himself. He doesn't have to create the material world so he can go have fun in the material world. Yeah, he doesn't need that. That's the way that so the Guru is looking at the verse ahead. And he's proposing a question like this. Why does God have anything to do with this material? He says, by his self-sheltered potency of the three modes of nature, the Lord has caused the creation of this universe. By whom he maintains the creation and conversely dissolves it again and again. Then he goes back to the jiva. He says, the pure soul is pure consciousness and never out of consciousness, either due to circumstances, time, situations, dreams, or other causes. How then does he become engaged in missions? Jiva Goswami goes through all these verses and comments on the significance of all of them. Now, this is actually, one of the things that comes up in the Siddhartha is there are many ways of studying the Vedic literature, rules, you can say rules on how you do it. And a lot of these, they come from Kama Mimamsa, or they come from Nyaya philosophy, but they are adapted by Vaishnavas also. They say, yes, this is a legitimate thing to do. And you get certain groups of things, just like this here. It says, how can you, how do you phrase it exactly? Forget, I think that, how can you forget something? And that's the basic idea. So this list here, the jiva is never out of consciousness due to time, situations, dreams, or other causes. So there are actually just four listed here, but there are five different causes, if you can say, like forgetfulness. Just like we have a list of three of this or four of this and so on. So this is Jiva Goswami, he analyzes each one of these and shows how it cannot apply to the jiva. So then in the next verse it says, the Lord is the super soul situated in every living entity's heart. Why then do the living entity's activities result in misfortune and misery? So this is another interesting question. I don't know if the way it's stated here. Sometimes I go to other translations, like Donaldson in his translation based on Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So he says here, since the idea of this question is, if you have two things in the water, how is it that one of them is wet and the other one is not? So that's the idea. He says, if the jiva is getting wet, why isn't Bhagavan getting wet? Mm-hmm. If the jiva is influenced by the material energy, why is Bhagavan not being influenced by the material energy? So the answer there is the same one as the answer for how the jiva is covered over. It's because he has, well, the jiva is suffering because Krishna's achintya shakti is making the jiva think he's suffering in his body. By using his, Krishna is using his external energy to do that. And that external energy has achintya shakti. Just as, well, of course, shakti means energy. So you can say the external energy is one of Krishna's achintya shaktis. She's one of Krishna's inconceivable potencies. So Krishna's inconceivable, he can do the inconceivable through his inconceivable energies. Or transrational, if I use that word again. His transrational potencies. But that potency, the point is, that potency is subordinate to him. So this, of course, to us, we think, well, that's not a great thing. We all know that, right? Which is one of the things I discovered when I read Jiva Goswami, I think, we all know the bottom line. A lot of these points that he's making, we think, why do we know this? Why do we have to read this really technical book? Because it's really technical, the Sundarvas. But Jiva Goswami shows how you get there. With a lot of logic and counter-arguments, he brings up lots of counter-arguments. See, we're very fortunate we don't have to worry about arguing with hardcore Mahavadis who really know the philosophy. Really know their stuff. If we came up with one of them, our head would probably be spinning. He would be quoting things and we would say, excuse me, time for lunch. But we, of course, we can just go to the bottom line and say, because we understand. So this is the point we get when we get right down to it. Why is this happening to the jiva? How is it? It's impossible. The jiva shouldn't be in Maya. He shouldn't be forgetting who he is. It doesn't make any sense if that's his constitution. But Krishna can do it too. Krishna can break the laws of nature. You know, it's not material nature, but the nature of reality. Of course, his reality is much broader than we conceive of it. So he uses his achintya shakti and he bewilders the living entity. Let me say, wrote down a few other things here. How can the jiva be deluded? Its animus can't be lost, because that's the idea. Just like we may think so many things, but we always think, I this, I that, I think I'm this. So the jiva is forgetting the I. He's forgetting the I, that's the idea. Somehow or other, Krishna's achintya shakti. Well, these are the five things that one can be deluded by these five things: time, space, circumstances, its own accord, and the influence of others. So the jiva can't be influenced by any of these. Let's see, why would the jiva influence and not Paramatma? We talked about that. So then, actually, this is really, this one is a bit of a problem. The question again is, how can the jiva be delivered? That was because he's conscious. So the way Prabhupada answers it, he doesn't refer to the jiva in the answer, he refers to Bhagavan. The reason he does that is because the word there is Ishvarasya. So the Ishvara can be, we usually think of Ishvara as Krishna, but Ishvara, it can also be the jiva. And that's the way Vishwanath Chakravarti taught, because we're also, actually there's a verse from the prayers by personified Vedas, which I used to know, but I forgot. But anyway, it says there that the living entities, they're not God, otherwise they wouldn't be under God's control, the control of his energy. But they are little Ishwaras, that's the idea. Because they're part of Krishna, they have some little ability to control. So the jiva is also called sometimes called a purusha, the jiva is prakriti, but sometimes called a purusha, but also called Ishvara. So the way Prabhupada translates this, his answer to the question of how did the jiva become bewildered, certain conditioned souls put forward the theory that the supreme Brahman, the personality of Godhead, was overcome by illusion or maya, and at the same time they maintain that he is unconditioned. This is against all logic. So Prabhupada is, he's not really tying it into the question because he's bringing in Bhagavan. But if you think of this as the jiva, now, the important phrase in the verse is maya yam nayana virujyate. The Krishna's energy, this is the verse, sayam bhagavato maya yam nayana virujyate ishvarasya vimuktasya kalpanyam utabandhanam. So the idea is that which, well, Jiva Goswami, he does one of these things where you split up the phrases in different ways. So he takes this phrase, yat nayana, maya yam nayana virujyate. So maya, Krishna's energy, as I was paraphrasing it, Krishna's energy can do the impossible. You can say that's what this means. Maya yam nayana virujyate. So here, Jiva Goswami says, you can take it as yet me, this especially these three syllables, yet me, or four syllables, yet me. So you can take it as yet, one word, second word, me. So that means which is contrary to logic. So that's more or less what I've been explaining. That maya can do things that are contrary to logic. That's how the jiva is bewildered. But it can also be taken as three words, yat, na, yana. In Sanskrit, the words are, the data numbers know it's all connected. Actually, if you ever read in academics, they don't like to break things up. We tend to break things up into syllables so you can figure out what it is. They have these huge long words, try to break it up into pieces. Oh, I know what that is. That's very common, but they get it all stuck together. So anyway, so here it's broken into, now there's a difference between yet mayana and yet mayana. When you make it yet mayana, or you make it yet mayana, that's a different thing. So this is yet mayana, means with whom there is no opposition with regard to him, i.e. Bhagavan. So the two ways of looking at it is, first, that God has inconceivable potency, and that's how he bewilders the jiva. And the second meaning is, nobody can oppose him. If he wants to do something, it's going to be done. Aptakama. We don't act that way. We don't operate. So we don't operate that way. If I want something to happen, I have to do it. And I have to have the ability. But Krishna, there's that famous verse which Jiva Goswami quotes, actually all the Acharyas quote. That God has inconceivable, God has multifarious energies. Spirit is one, but it also has variegatedness within it. So what is that? There are energies there. Krishna is one and different from his energy. So one aspect of his energy is Svabhaviti-jnana-balakuracha. And when God wants to do something, Svabhaviti, when he has a desire for something to be accomplished, it happens automatically, just by his will. And there are three aspects that have brought out these three words, or three aspects of accomplishing something. Jnana Bala Kriya. Jnana means you have to know how to do it. Bala means you have to have the ability to do it. Bala means strength, right? Jnana Bala. And Kriya, you actually have to do it. You can't just think about it. Yeah, I can do that. No. But Krishna, he doesn't have to independently go through the steps. He just has to desire it, and it takes place automatically. So this is one of the the explanation that Jiva Goswami only gives. Why is it Jiva beloved? Because Krishna wanted it, so that's it. And why is the Achintya Shakti in order for accomplishment? Now, then the next verse is one that I'm sure you hear it or remember. The living entity is in distress regarding his self-identity. He has no factual background. I don't know if I should say it has, but anyway. No factual background, like a man who dreams that he sees his head cut off. So this is the example of, this is impossible. How can you see your own head? You're in a dream, you're looking at your head over there, but your eyes are over there, how can you see? That's the point of this verse. What Maitreya is saying here is that it's just an illusion, it's a trick. It's just Krishna's trick. You don't have any connection with this body. You're suffering for no reason. Krishna's put you there. And then now, let's see. Okay, well, that was it. That was the last part we wanted to do. I like this saying. I'll read the next verse too. I like this analogy. As the moon reflected on the ladder appears to the seer to tremble due to being associated with the quality of the water, so the self-association with matter appears to be qualified as matter. Here's a nice example. The moon up in the sky is very steady, has a waver, no ripples in the moon. But if it's reflected in the water and the water is moving, then you see ripples on the moon. But there are no ripples on the moon. So that's the same idea. There are no ripples in us. We're not actually suffering. It's just because of the reflection. We're actually, maya is a reflection. This is one of the Vachya verses in the Bhagavatam that talks about maya as a reflection. It's a nipadhasa, nipadhamma. It's like ignorance and it's like a reflection. That's the material world. That's how Krishna's energy is categorized in that. Here's the translation to the verse again. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, unless one is influenced by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no meaning to the relationship of the pure soul and the pure consciousness with the material body. That relationship is just like a dreamer's seeing his own body working. And of course we all know how to wake up, right? Chanting Hare Krishna. That's the Lord's breath. Hello, questions? What do you think of it?
So, from what I little bit understood what you were talking is that the jiva themselves, like Krishna, cannot forget themselves. And Krishna does that to us. What does Krishna get out of doing that to us? Why does he do that? When we ourselves, because I always thought that it is we who got ourselves into maya, so to speak. We wanted to...
Yeah, well, that's what Prabhupada says in the purport. He says it's due to our own will. Because that's, I was thinking of this question, I didn't bring into the origin of the jiva. You may have noticed. But this is a technical, how does maya affect the jiva? Not, how could we possibly do this? It doesn't make any sense. Did we really fall from that kingdom? This whole question. But the way Prabhupada does it, he says, we can't figure out when it happened, but if he says directly in the purport, something like, maybe it's another one. So if there was a beginning, but we don't know when it was. There was a cause, and that cause is our turning against Krishna, somehow or other, it happened. So. And then in order for it's probably we talked about the king, we want to be a king, so after be a king. You can't really be a king. You can't think of yourself as anything but a servant. That's who you are. But you want to be a king? Okay. So I'll make you a king. You can go down to this utopia, the material world, and I'll make you a king. Yeah, we'll make it happen.
It's impossible.
Krishna could say, no, it's impossible. And the jiva could say, you can do anything. And Krishna said, yeah, you're right. So, we'll create this place, this impossible world, and we'll think that we're this or that, which you shouldn't be able to think that way, but I'll make it happen, because you want it to happen. But what about a desire arose in the jiva? That's a tough one. I don't really care about that one.
Is it the same thing, maybe not, but if Krishna, he, because of his achintya shakti, he gives a free choice, is that what it is, that he's giving the free choice to the living entity to forget himself?
The freedom is always there, and that's perfect, and that's pretty always. That is always part of the answer. Why do we come from the material world? Because we have freedom to do so. Some will choose to do it. What is proper? That was a very proper, just question. Because that it is there, but because that free will is there, some will choose to do it. So that's it. Of course, people have arguments against these, but they don't really do anything else.
It seems like Krishna wanted to just create a madhouse, you know, because there are millions of living entities in such illusion.
Mm-hmm.
But then he did provide the shastra to become seen. Did he want to see a madhouse? I mean, really, it's what it wants to.
Krishna didn't want to do it, against his will. He was forced to do it in response to us. Actually, Krishna himself, he doesn't really want to do it, the material world. That's another whole aspect of it. The Purushas are, Purushavatars. But then with Mahavishnu, they're involved in the material world. Krishna does nothing. He doesn't give it a certain thought. That's not really. He has his own domain. He can, of course, Krishna can do millions of things at the same time because he can experiment. He can duplicate himself. And sometimes I think expand is kind of a funny word. Balloons expand. He multiplies, he duplicates. He duplicates himself in so many ways. Not that each duplicate has a certain amount of potency. So the duplicates that are involved in the material world are called Purusha avatars. They're all their own category. That's why we had Bhagavan and Paramatma. For many years, I couldn't figure out why do we have two categories? Paramatma is still Vishnu Tattva. Why separate Bhagavan and Paramatma? Paramatma is Krishna too. But because of this, because Paramatma means especially these three Purushas, Mahavishnu, Bhagavad-Gita, Vishnu, and Chiyodakshara, Vishnu. In fact, much of the Bhagavatam, when we're talking about Vishnu, we're talking about the Vishnu, we're not talking about Vaikuntha Vishnu, we're not talking about, of course, talking about Krishna. But often, Vishnu is who's here doing his job in the material world. That's the... So they're involved, they're Vishnu. And the avatars, of course, were the avatar. The avatars are coming into this world also. They're coming through Vishnu. They're not coming, as they say, not directly from Krishna. It's another way you can see that Krishna's not really involved in this material. His expansion is still for a lot of pieces. The avatars.
Such an amazing presentation. Thank you very much. One thing I was thinking about is how we understand that in the spiritual world, time is conspicuous by its absence. And we are very much in our dream state,
identifying with past, present, future, and it seems interminable. But like Prabhupada describes in that one purport about Lord Brahma's life seems interminable, but from the point of view of eternity, it's as brief as a lightning flash. So I'm wondering whether, like, okay, Krishna did not want for us to choose to look away from him and become our own lords. He did it because we wanted it. And he also knows the fullness of time, how each one of us can come back to him, like Gopakumar coming back finally. I mean, he's not going to force us, but he also knows. I mean, that is part, could that be part of his lila that he can transform? But seems right now to us like a completely miserable madhouse into just a moment that, oh, and then we get to reconnect and embrace him again. That's a question.
No, I don't know what Krishna thinks. I'm not that tuned in, I'm afraid. I know the ladies, they sometimes say, you know, how can Krishna do it? There's so much suffering here. I mean, it really bothers. I mean, some of it really bothers them. Just the idea that Krishna would create this material world and even let us come here. The child wants to do something, and they let him do it if they can. So, well, anyway, I'm not going to make it up. But I know sometimes when we say, well, actually, you know, it seems like a long time, but it's just an eye blink. It's just an eye blink, really. So it's, don't make a big deal out of it. Of course, I think maybe because I was sick or something, I was thinking, oh, it's so miserable. And I was thinking, you know, we, lifetime after lifetime, millions and millions of lifetimes, we've been doing this in this material world. And so we went to Prabhupada so emphatic and forceful in his presentation. Get out of this place. Gotta get out of here. Do it now. Don't waste. Don't take another birth in this material world. We've forgotten how old. I mean, so much. I mean, just look around. Just look at the world now. So much suffering. I get a little headache and I want to die. That's sad. It's a funny place.
Prabhu, when you say Krishna doesn't give what a second thought? The material world?
The material world, or us. Krishna's only thinking of the world.
Well, look at, here's Krishna. And we go before him.
Well, actually, he's there, but that's not his place.
What'd you say?
That's Lord Vishnu up there. And we worship him in the form of Krishna so we can develop our Lord. Prabhupada explains this, because Krishna doesn't come to this material world. The Acharya has left Krishna. Swami Bhagavan, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So we don't worship Krishna like this. We put him out, the gopis, of course they already do, they do lots of things. But, you know, that's not. This is Lakshmi Narayana. The deity form is Lakshmi Narayana. Prabhupada explains this actually in the Bible too. It's not something to think about. Really. It's kind of a thing. You don't want to think about it, right? You don't even think that's Lakshmi Narayana. That's Radha Krishna up there. And if you go, what about Krishna Bhairava? Is that meant to Shisha? So, it's interesting, isn't it? It's actually Vishnu, but the Prabhupada said that we worship Vishnu as Radha Krishna, and Lakshmi Narayana is Radha Krishna. Which is interesting. Of course, then the Prabhupada said that you will come to the stage where Krishna will speak to you directly. And he'll say, just like in that story of Sakshidopal, when the young Brahman goes back to Vrindavan and Sakshidopal goes around to come, he says, I'm just a rookie, I can't go anywhere. He says, Timmy Sakshat, the gender in the Kumar. No, you're directly in Krishna, the son of the Maharaj. I know. So you can see, the Goswamis won't see Lakshmi Narayana, worshipping Lady Dharmadan, and Madhu, and so on. Lord of Gopinath. So eventually, maybe you can look at a large stage that it's actually what's been allowed is accepting our worship. Eventually, not a Christian will accept our worship when our hearts are completely pure. That's another thing about it. Sometimes you notice something when you start seeing it a lot. We'll have this slogan, shake stone lions, four the principles, go back to Godhead, banqueting that. But you can find a lot of places where the Bible says you have to be completely pure. You have to be completely pure love for Krishna. You have to be mad for Krishna, that's the idea. You're so mad for Krishna that you can't stop thinking about him. That's it. You can't forget Krishna. The devotees want to forget Krishna, they can't forget Krishna. That's what it takes. Otherwise, if you don't want Krishna 100%, then Krishna really wants 100%. Of course he does, but that's what's required. To enter into Krishna's association, worship him, that's what the goal. In fact, this is an interesting section in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the first in the middle, where Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is making this point so strongly that everyone thinks of himself as a servant of Krishna. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Adasad Vritya. Krishna Bhagavan Swayam Krishna, he's God. Everybody else thinks of himself as a servant. And this is even described, I think it's in the context of Lord Balaram. Balaram thinks, just like after the Vinayana Mila, when the cows are running down the hill and at the whole pass to see their cows and the farmers were so much affectionate for their sons. And Balaram said, what's going on here? Oh, this must be the mixed potency of the master. So he thinks of Krishna, Balaram thinks of Krishna as the master. And then just after that, there's a verse from Nanda Maharaj. And he says to Uddhava, because Uddhava told him, you know your son is God. Uddhava went to Vrindavan. He said, you may be God, but I'm going to serve him. I'll serve him in my way. But he still thinks of himself. And I'm serving his boy. We just want to serve him. Everybody in Vrindavan just wants to serve him. They serve him by playing with him, they serve him, feeding him, but whatever they're doing. So that's what's required ultimately. We have to serve Krishna. We often think of this too. If we're thinking, I'm going to go back to Godhead because it'll be so much fun. It just has so much fun in it. No, it has to be, I'm going to serve, now it has to be the burning desire. You have so much attraction for this person. You just want to serve that person. What can you do? That's what Hare Krishna means, right? Krishna, let me serve you. And the Prabhupada says, he said, what is the meaning of the mantra? I'm calling out, because what is the mantra? It's just it's a evocative calling out. Oh, Ramana, oh, Krishna. He says, we're calling out, oh, Krishna. And Krishna says, yes, what do you want? And we say, please engage me in your service. That's the mother mantra. Anyway, I don't know if I was answering a question completely, for that was doing away.
I just have a comment. Prabhupada was talking to a man, I can't remember if he was a professor or what he was, but the man said, I can't understand how if the place was so nice in the spiritual world and we left it, how I forgot it. He said, I can remember a nice meal I had last month, you know, and that was just a meal. And that the answer was very simple. Prabhupada said the jiva is very small and he forgets. Mm-hmm. And also my comment on the nut house, I mean this is a nut house, but you don't have to act nuts. You can actually, when Prabhupada was here, he wasn't acting nuts. It's everybody around us is nuts. Mm-hmm. And if the devotees, you know, have their core values together, and they remember what we're supposed to do.
So we just need a staff,
right?
We need to help you do it.
Yes.
We need to do it in the midst. So I need to stop. Shri Prabhupada.